B-Pod Studios.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bankroll Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the other.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in his chest.
Hey, we're the Touch and Rich radio program. The Bankroll Boys are brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings now. Use code SPORTSHUB during sign-up. Start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Joe Murray back from Hawaii. He's now 40 years old. Yes. He said he dropped about 10 pounds in Hawaii by moving.
Lots of walking, swimming, the ocean, eating well. It was good.
Did you have Spam?
No, I did not, but lots of food trucks. Lots of chicken katsu and shoyu chicken.
Nice.
Garlic shrimp and shave ice.
Roast beef.
By the way, these guys who run the roast beef account, I don't know if Rich is here, but they sent me this large shirt with a baseball face of a roast beef. And I think it's the North Shore Beef Crew. But yeah, they're on to us now.
Yeah. I mean, that's about the best advertisement you could get is just it was almost like sex. It was almost like you had just finished. Roast beef.
We got our beefs, bro.
That's not the one. That's the one.
Talk about the onion rings?
This is the one where you're going through the bag and you see what you got. Now, the roast beef people just dropped it off for you?
By the way, yeah, I got to clear this up because I haven't talked to you about it yet, but the reason why I was not on the air was because we went to a break. I went downstairs to meet the fellow, Maddie Markey, who owns Jamie's. And I go, man, I don't know if I can let you upstairs because, you know, COVID or whatever. So I took a picture with him. And when I came back up, I saw Leroy talking. So I didn't just
French fries in beefs.
I didn't just run downstairs, flag him down, help him try to find his way here. I know it might have sounded like that on the air.
No, but
not what happened.
But you were talking about him on the air.
He called in. I didn't even call him.
Yeah, no, right. But he calls in, and then you start talking about how great the roast beef he sells is.
And if he could, I'll pay for it if he can drive it here.
Yeah.
He goes, I'll do it myself.
You pay for that.
You know it. Said I'd pay for it.
Did you?
Let's just say there's a care package coming
there
for him.
There it is.
All right. So you're giving him something like maybe the steak tips from
Dom's. I felt bad. He drove all the way here. I feel like I should compensate him, right?
Right. But you didn't do it right then and there.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I had to come back on the air.
Right.
I didn't want to leave Leroy by himself.
So what will be in the care package?
Probably a gift card and a Visa gift card. His gas is expensive.
It is expensive.
Yeah.
And then he just handed you how many roast beefs?
Two roast beef sandwiches, lots of French fries, lots of onion rings, chicken and chicken wings.
Did you let Leroy have anything?
I let him send them home with him, actually, yeah.
Oh,
it was Super Bowl Sunday. I was going to watch Super Bowl and go to Hawaii. So all I could get was my beef, bro.
Yeah.
That's all I could get.
It's amazing that when you talk on the air about a product that they'll bring it over and then they just hand it to you like that. It's amazing. But, I mean, you enjoyed it. Did you eat the beef on air?
It was unbelievable. No, we had to get off the air for a Celtics game.
Yeah, oh boy.
We wanted to. That was the point.
French fries in beefs.
You have to understand, I was on island time.
Were you high?
No,
naturally.
But I was on island time though.
Yeah, you were just thinking about beefs.
Just get on that plane, watch the Super Bowl. You watch Super Bowl, get on that plane, and
it was an 11-hour flight.
Yeah, it was the last beef I've had actually. Well, I haven't had a beef since.
In the last 3 weeks, you haven't had a beef.
I have not had a beef.
I know what you're doing today, beefing.
No,
madness.
Today's March Madness, bro.
Yeah, that's right. Go get a beef.
No, today is like I don't know what I'm going to do today. Game start at noon.
So, yeah, what are you going to do? What do you guys do today? Are you going down, like you said, Dan, to one of the casinos where you can legally bet on the games?
Unfortunately, I have to work, so I will not be doing that. I wanted to, but unfortunately. It is what it is.
We'll set it up someday, because I know, like, Beatles doing an event for the station tonight. Some of the guys go to, like, bars. Like, I'd love to do that, like, as a station at some point. But 12:15 today, Michigan, Colorado State.
Now, a lot of people have Michigan winning not only that game, but they have Michigan going on a little run.
No.
That's the problem with this tournament. And I'm sure Dan can get into detail, but I'll just dumb it down. If you haven't watched and you don't know about these conferences and you're blind betting, you're going to lose your ass off. If you don't know information on these teams, you are going to lose. And it's bad. And I did an experiment a couple of years ago. I bet every single game in the first round.
Now he's going to pick every single game in the first round. It's going to be the same thing.
No, I'm not going to bet it, at least. Actually, hold on to my money.
You're just doing it for fun.
Yes.
All right. So do not bet on every game in the first round, even though that sounds like fun.
Don't do it.
No.
Dude, I had a guy bet me once, hey, I bet you can't go over 500 on every single NFL game. I went one game over 500. But still, it's very hard to do.
There's a lot more games than today than there were on NFL Sunday, man.
All right, so I've watched Michigan this year, and they've underwhelmed. In fact, they were not even a tournament team until late in the season when they went on a little bit of a run. Then they lost in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. So they don't seem like they're much. And just in terms of the games today, I know that the people of Providence are fans of you, Joe.
Oh, man, very sensitive.
Yeah, you guys are saying Providence fans are more sensitive than Patriots fans, which is a bold statement.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, you had a comment on the Big East.
Recently. I mean, look, the Big East, Fred, is not a good conference.
It's not a good conference anymore. It's not what you remember the Big East.
It's not a top four conference. The SEC is significantly better. The Big Ten is significantly better. The Big 12 is significantly better.
You can argue the Mountain West might be. I mean, you can argue it, though.
That might be a little much, but I do think the Mountain West is competitive, and I think that, you know, the Pac-12 is competitive. I mean, the Pac-12 has an elite team coming out of it in Arizona and a very good team in UCLA. You know, I mean, at least they might make some noise. Providence fans got very, very sensitive, you know, over the past couple of weeks because everyone said they were lucky. They're number one in the KenPom rankings for your team luck because they just have a lot of things break their way this season, especially at the end of games. And, you know, the market, the betting market and you know, the bookmakers who set the lines agree. Providence right now is 250-1 to win the tournament,
And what's the spread today?
And they are -2.
They're 2-point favorites.
Yeah, they're -2 South Dakota State.
Why can't you give the other team a shot when it's a 2-point favorite?
I mean,
Vegas odds makers think that it's going to be a close game.
Based upon the line, based upon the champions, they think that tournament is that Providence is winning and losing. Sorry, in the either today or next round. I mean, They're not giving Providence much of a shot. In fact, pretty much every single sharp player across the board is not giving Providence much of a shot. No respect. And to be honest with you, it's kind of owned. They've gotten very lucky this season. They're a good team. They play in a decent conference, but like people are making out this Providence team to be like something they're not. They're fun to watch, but they're nothing special.
But the people of Providence get really mad at you. Like, Joe,
You know the Kowloon menu more than you know college basketball. Like, it's been, I didn't realize there was this type of fan base for Providence.
Yeah. Oh, dude, they win a game, like, where the roof started leaking. How was that lucky? The roof started leaking and completely changed the entire momentum of a game. Then they lose by 30 in the tournament, and
I'm picking against Providence today. I'm taking South Dakota State.
I'm not.
And they shoot 44% from three. I think they're gonna. I think Providence is bigger inside, no doubt. But I'm going with South Dakota State. And you mentioned Michigan, by the way.
Yeah,
they shouldn't even be in this tournament.
No,
and they're favored in their game today against Colorado State, which
the seeding for them didn't really make sense.
Not at all.
Yeah. So Dan, your thoughts on those two games?
I'm not going to pick against Providence today. I think it's a pretty toss up on the spread. I probably would personally. I don't think there's much of an edge. I wouldn't bet it. These lines are super super tight. Not a lot of movement when it comes to the Michigan game. I said it a couple weeks ago on air here. I don't think Juwan Howard's a very good coach. I know he won Coach of the Year last year. I know that people think that he's some sort of amazing guy. They're just having a down year. I think in game coaching, he's pretty average, below average probably, to be honest with you. And they look better with Phil Martelli. So if Juwan Howard gets out of the way and lets Phil Martelli get, you know, kind of coach this team, I'd give him a chance. But Howard absolutely will not. I think Colorado State wins today. I think Michigan gets dumped out. Yes, Michigan's the favorite. They opened that way. You know, really across the board, it was a pick 'em or minus one in the Vegas openers. But I'd take Colorado State plus one money line. You know, that's kind of where
I'm on the same, Dan.
All right, the Bankroll Boys in studio. If you have a question for them or if you're from Providence and you just want to yell because you guys are the best team ever, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back with the Bankroll Boys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Toucher and Rich. And whatever this is.
This son of Dan and Rick Flair, they're nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, everybody, it's the Toucher and Rich Show. Bankroll Boys, Dan Lifshitz, Joe Murray in studio. Rich broadcasting from a beautiful swingers retreat in South Carolina. And
an elderly swingers retreat, which makes it even more sexy.
And by the way, Rich, you were missing out. The Bankroll Boys were talking about times in their lives they had been hit by women or girls.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and that there was no retaliate, that they couldn't retaliate because they were girls. And to that, I would say,
I punched my sister after she started throwing remotes at me, like started throwing stuff at me. I was already going to get in trouble, so I just punched her. My parents were already going to yell at me, so I just started hitting her after she started doing that.
And now what did she do?
Started crying. I got in trouble. I mean, it was going to happen anyway.
Now, was it a deafening, loud screech?
She was a little girl, of course.
Yes.
A little boy. Like.
The power of the young girl's voice when upset is really something to behold. But, Joe, your story was not a relative.
I had a next-door neighbor growing up. A girl, we played basketball. I got physical on the court. We're young. I'm talking 12, 13. Got the old punch in the eye.
She's like wound up and punched
and
you in the eye.
I just...
How much you have to pay her?
But it was the old...
Were you a bad boy?
Wow. Like the street cred. I held it up and I said, I'm going to be a better person.
Oh, no, you can't. No. The non-relative is out there. You cannot be doing that.
No.
Now, did she know she had done something wrong?
It was... Yeah.
Because it's scary.
It's basketball. You're going to punch me in the face at 12 years old?
I hit a kid in the face. The first time I ever hit a kid in the face was sort of the same scenario. It was this kid like in my friend's neighborhood, and I just hit him in the face. I don't even know why I did it. And then I sat there for a minute like looking at him, and then I like took off running. It's scary. Yeah. You hit a kid in the face. You go, what have I done? And then I'm like, off running.
This is totally off track, but I've played co-ed sports, and I've only played competitively. So when you play with co-ed, it's a little more laid back.
Sure.
And like my friend got a ground ball to third base, threw it to first, and it like hits the girl in the face, you know. And it's like you only know how to play one way, and it's like now that things are slowed down a little bit and relaxed. Things happen that you wouldn't happen normally on the baseball field.
But I mean, that's not intentional.
I know, you don't mean for it. It's just sometimes you just I can't play co-ed anymore.
There was a girl in the neighborhood, now that you mentioned this, who just for some reason she was punch happy, and it wasn't like kind of friendly, hey there, slugger. It was like she would just like punch dudes like over and over and over again to the point where you just avoided her at all costs, and she was at our bus stop. So I remember she would just go up and just start slugging dudes, and she was like two grades older than most of me and my friends. So it's not like it was just like, you know, something we could get away from. We're kind of hanging out, and she would just slug us, and you couldn't do anything about it. That was obviously there's nothing you could do except
you
just
have told on her. Like a real man.
You can't do that. You can't do it,
You should
it,
have gone
man.
To the principal like a real man.
Older sisters don't know how much of an upper hand they have over younger brothers. It's like they can get away with anything they want to. Anything they can get away with it.
Well, not in Livshat's house.
No, not Livshat. You throw a remote at Livshat's.
I mean, I was going to get in trouble anyway. She threw a remote at me, and then she was going to tell my parents that I threw it at her, and she was going to fake cry and get me in trouble. So what is that going to do? If I'm going to get in trouble, I might as well get in trouble for something.
If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly.
Now, what was the, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly?
Have you seen my face? Have you seen my face, Joe?
If you're going to be a bear, be a rugged double bear.
If you're going to be a bear, meet me under the pier at 0700.
That's not the kind of bear I want to be, personally.
Oh, but it would be what you would be, Danny boy.
Apparently.
Yes, Dan, you would be a double rugged bear. You would in the gay community.
Very exciting.
You would be loved, but wouldn't it be nice to be found attractive, like by like a big group, a big subset of people?
I was called a woof by our friend Guy from Machine.
Oh, by the way, Guy from Machine apparently on Twitter, I saw that, called up Felger and Maz looking for us yesterday.
Well, no, yeah, Jay Stu tweeted that he was looking for us and he wanted to be on the show. I guess he might call later on from what Nick was telling me. I'm not
good
sure.
That Guy from Machine has any idea of when we're on the air. It's exciting times. That Guy from Machine who's been on the show in studio.
Hey, I just want to say, Dan was supposed to be in Vegas.
I know.
For this, and I see some of our friends are there at the moment. I don't know if you saw any photos from there. Your guy's friend, Sports Talk Matt, is there right now?
Sports Talk Matt. Now is he like? Is he the?
Oh, I didn't bring this up. I didn't bring this up, man.
But Sports Talk Matt is he? He's got the world on the string.
He's a gambling guy now.
Yeah,
is
I know.
Is he asking all the tough questions?
Hey, Bobby, the Yankees are in town. Bunch of New York media is here in the room with us. What do you think?
I mean, I can only imagine him holding the, Mark Davis's feet to the fire like that.
With a couple of our buddies right now. Dan, you would have been there.
I would not
have been. Certainly, whatever you how you say it.
I have no problem with that, but I would not have been there with him. I think I'll make that.
Toucher and Rich. We're a bunch of sports yahoos.
There we go.
He's like De Niro in Casino, right? He runs everything in Vegas.
Yeah. And it was not Rich, by the way, who went off. It was the other yahoo.
That's me. The yahoo not to be named. The yahoo is so insignificant. It was so insignificant.
And sometimes you wind up saying something really, really stupid because you're being stupid.
Sports Talk Matt.
Does Sports Talk Matt, is he the sheriff of the gambling industry?
Is he
the sheriff of
what?
Sports Talk Radio? I'm talking kindly about you, Sports Talk Matt. You were there to lay down the law when people broke the rules.
To steal a line from Bryce Harper, it's a clown question, bro.
It was cool when Bryce Harper said it, but then when you said it, it got like triply cool.
What?
I said you're cool. Stop.
Again, Gordon Eads wrote about you.
Okay, all right. That was the best. I'd do anything to be talked about by Gordon Eads.
Yeah, and then there was like the gimp in the background.
That's right.
I would do anything if there's Harper talked to
Gordon Eads. Gordon Eads, you are the best.
Gordon Eads is great. I don't talk to Gordon Eads.
Like Gordon Eads wrote about you. You know what?
I'd be thrilled if Gordon Eads wrote about me.
That was the guy.
That sounds like Beetle.
I'd be thrilled if Gordon Eads wrote about me.
It sounds Beetle got hit in the balls like 18 times.
Don't tell me on.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Did he call our show one time? I'm not sure.
I don't know. That was Joe at the drive-thru.
Joe ordering a beef?
Yep.
You say,
can't really order a beef at a drive-thru.
Sure.
Oh, no, you go to a Kelly's, I bet.
You can never go to a Kelly's drive-thru? Come on.
Yeah. We got our beefs, bro.
There you go. Even I did that one.
But a bunch of our crew from Boston's up there.
It is the best day. It really is. Today, I'm jealous of anyone who is sitting at a sports book waiting for it to open up. When do the games start? Noon? So it's 9 o'clock on the West Coast if you're in Vegas. It's just the best feeling. Usually like 4 games at once. Everyone's got money on it. You just belly up and sit there and you watch 2 rounds of games. It doesn't get better than that. And that's why it still pisses me off that you can't do it at the Encore.
You ever be sitting next to someone, sitting around someone at a sports book who's got money on that's riversiding you, that's got money on the other side?
Oh, yeah.
And they're screaming and yelling and getting happy and you just want to kill them?
Yeah, that happened at a Hooters recently with me.
Really?
I started throwing empty used chicken wings at them. I had the Tennessee Titans and they had the Bengals.
Really?
And when Ryan Tannehill threw that pick that was tipped, I threw a lot of empty chicken bones.
No, what did they? How did they react to that?
What were they going to do?
Joey ball game coming to get you.
Well, was it someone you knew?
No.
Oh, okay, you just starting fights.
Yeah, the other day.
Okay, cool.
All right. He's like, oh, let's throw chicken bones at him.
Okay.
I had a guy behind me had a light. It was a left. It was a left-hand turn light. Start honking at me, and then I looked at him, and he flicked me off. So I just sat there and let the light change.
That's great.
Yeah, like, what are you flipping me off? Like, my bad. Like, I was looking down. Oh, okay, I'll go. I mean, I understand honking, but now you're flipping me off. All right, well, I'll sit here all day. I got nowhere to be.
All right, not to bore anybody with some picks, but I'm taking Kansas to make the Final Four, plus 250, and I'm taking Purdue to win their region, plus 450.
Purdue has the most unathletic center I've ever seen in my entire life.
7'3".
I think it would be, yeah, you say, yeah, he is 7'3", and the half of its head. And
Edie, I think his name is? Yeah,
Edie. And he's, if he's a junior, but if he went pro, late second round pick. But they got two kids, two first rounders. They got a kid that might be taking fourth, Ivy, yeah. And they got a kid that is a senior, senior that I think is a late round. He's a big man, late round first.
Dan, you got anything?
I'm taking Marquette today, plus 4.
Ooh.
I'm off the ACC bandwagon. I do not think the Big East is very good either, but I don't think either conference is very good. And I think UNC is going to be a little bit of a disaster today. And
UNC is?
Yeah. I just
Backing into the tournament, too, a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, they're
coming off the win against Duke, though.
Yeah, but they lost before.
That was a couple weeks ago.
No, okay.
Yeah. And then I'm going to be the dissenting person on this game. I'm going to take Arkansas minus 5 against Vermont. Everyone feels that this is going to be upset, and it very well may be.
Well, you know why? It's because Vermont has done it before.
They're very, very good. They're going up against an SEC team that's one of the best in the country. That's one of the best conferences.
Again, I like Vermont, and I'm a Big East guy. You know,
they got respect getting a 13 seed. I mean, that's enough. You know?
I came from a Big East school. It's where I went to college, but let me tell you, the level of play there when you're beating teams by 30 is not the same. And so I think there might be slightly overrated from where people that maybe where they actually should be ranked. I think Arkansas is probably going to be way too fast for them and play at a much higher pace. And I don't see a Vermont hanging around with them.
Yeah, okay, so you have something on your email that you sent out, and I'm just trying to get you to clarify what this means, because I love this bet. It's how many game-winning buzzer-beater shots, and it says an R64. Is that just the first round? Or is that the entire tournament?
That's the entire tournament.
The entire tournament. Okay. And it is surprisingly right now, 0 is at minus 145. 1 is at plus 225. And then it goes 2 is plus 700. And then it goes exponentially up from there. Is that a bet worth taking? Because I don't know if it's just because these are the clips that we all end up seeing when you're not watching. It always seems that there's at least like 2 or 3 of those per tournament.
ESPN ranked the best tournaments of all time. And there have been tournaments that there were like ridiculous, like every game.
Tyus Edney had, you know, obviously it was a championship game, but like, yeah, before that, there were like 5 before that.
Yeah, and it was like best game, and he's like, all of them. Like, all of them were the best because they were all like under 5 points or something like that. It was crazy.
I will tell you, though, there was only 2 games that in the championship week that went Iowa. Hit the one at the buzzer, then there was another one in there. There was only 2.
There was a small school that
It was a small school.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
There was 2 in the championship.
Long Beach,
there you go. Yep. So, I don't know. I think there's value at 6. There's value. I just think there has to be a buzzer.
I think that's a fun one. And, not to make money.
And I would like to also see how many have happened over the past several tournaments. Because
you got to be an insider, Rich. So what I'm doing is I'm going a little over your head here. Okay, I don't want to.
You paid the extra $5.
Hey, Hey, you don't know how much it costs, do you? You don't know for a fact how much it costs.
I'm an outsider, so I don't.
Yeah, right. Once you're on the inside, we'll talk. Well, you know, I'll give you the handshake. But it is interesting. It's the guy picks the best tournaments of all time. I could get into
it. Oh, I actually have it right here. I found it. So last year's tournament, there were two. In 2019, there were two. In 2018, you had three, 17, two. Oh, my God, 16. Whoa. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in 2016.
That's plus 4,000.
I'm telling you, it just that seems to me. But you got to nail it on the number, right? It's not like over under, point,
nope.
You know, a half.
No,
like,
you got to hit it on the number.
You got to hit it on the nose. All right. Well, you know what? I would probably say the average right now looks like two, so that doesn't seem like a bad bet at all at plus 700.
Well, it would be for fun. Obviously, if you are a professional gambler like these guys, that's probably not a bet you're taking. Shawnee, go ahead.
Hey guys, hey.
Hey.
So I heard you talking about older sisters beating you guys up and random girls at the bus stop, and I needed to call because I am a younger sister of three older brothers, and I got my butt kicked till I was about 18, and the only reason they stopped is because I was pregnant, and that's like illegal or something.
Is that so, why you got pregnant at 18, is to stop your brothers from hitting it?
Yes, actually.
Ah, they're very good.
I became really good friends with the broom, and that was my only weapon.
Okay.
And anytime I tried to cry, my mom would just beat me and them because she didn't know who was telling the truth.
Well, that's the key. You got to start beating everyone as a parent.
Everyone gets the beatings.
You just started whooping everybody.
Yeah, you just whoop them all.
Who was telling the truth?
I'll tell you,
so
though.
I just want to say, if you got beat up by a girl randomly at a bus stop, it's probably because she got triggered as a sister who got her butt kicked by an older brother or something like that. So, yes, younger brothers, you guys get it sometimes. But it's not nearly as bad as younger sisters who have older brothers. For, like, half my life, all my boyfriends were gay. I just told my brothers that everybody I was dating was actually my gay best friend. And then I couldn't lie anymore.
Because they would have gotten mad that you had a boyfriend?
Absolutely. They would have scared my boyfriend away. So I
that always seems odd to me.
Female, grew up in a town where my only options were like white guys, and so I was fine with it. But you know, it's a little scary when you bring them home, and then you got three older black brothers who are like, "Yo, what you doing with my sister?" And then they're like, "Oh, I don't know," and I'm like, "No, it's okay. He's gay." So like, that's what we had to do.
Right. Would he have to put up the front too? Like, did you let him in on this?
Did he really play it up?
Like, did he have to play
Absolutely.
Along?
Would he be like Absolutely. Jim J. Bullock from Too Close to for Comfort?
Mostly it was just like, don't touch me, don't look at me too long, and if they ask you anything, tell them you like their shoes or their pants or their shirt. Compliment their outfit. They'll get really uncomfortable and we'll be good. That's how I lived my life. So you guys might have had it bad, but not nearly as bad as
Shawnee. Younger. I'm glad you could let that all out on the air today. Thank you so much for calling
Thanks,
in.
Shawnee.
You owe me $25. All right. Thank you, Bankroll Boys. All right. There you go. We learned a little bit from all sides today, and we learned an awful lot about Shawnee. She had to bring white guys home, and her three black brothers did not care for that.
What?
Sports Talk Matt, I'm sorry. It was not sports. That moment was not sports. So we'll get right back to sports. Okay?
Toucher and Rich, who are a bunch of sports yahoos.
I know. All right.
Missing Dan in Vegas.
All right. So there you go. The Bankroll Boys 7 to 9 live on Saturday. The Over-Under 98.5 podcast available for your podcast pleasure. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Toucher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5. Sports Hub.
I felt it after I was pitching, like I said, on that live BP. It was kind of weird. Like I said, I threw that day. Everything was going well. I don't know if any of you guys watched it, but ball felt like it was coming out of my hand good, throwing sliders, throwing all my pitches. Even did a full, you know, upper body workout after that, and then just kind of the next probably 4 or 5 days after that just kept getting progressively worse and worse, and that's when I was finally like, I gotta say something to somebody.
There you go. Chris Sale, was it a fractured rib?
Yeah, but the weirdest thing about all this is it wasn't a fall or so. He cracked his rib just by throwing.
He did a video, a live stream video.
I mean, if that doesn't terrify you, if you're the Red Sox.
Well, the way he pitches, and I've told you this a million times, I mean, his mechanics, if you were a kid and walked into a pitching, like, had a pitching coach, the guy would have a heart attack.
Yeah, they wouldn't. He doesn't move. He doesn't extend his arm. There's a lot of body movements.
Well, yeah, well, just, I mean, he throws with his arm.
And like, then, I'm surprised he doesn't have a back issue. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, he throws sidearm. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't throw the way you're supposed to throw. So, shoulder and elbow and rib injuries.
That's why they wanted him to be a relief pitcher in part of his career. They were like, this guy can't hold up long term.
Well, he can. I mean, he falls apart at the end of seasons. And when we found out yesterday during the show that this happened, yeah, this doesn't sound like something that you just, you know, you take a couple weeks and then you're back throwing. This seems like something that it's going to be months and then you have to start from scratch.
Well, I mean, this whole thing is weird because not only, well, first of all, when we were out of town, so I think, Joe, you might have been on the show at the time. I know that Wallach had Chris Cotillo on, who covers the team, and he was saying that, you know, during the lockout, he had watched Chris Sale down at Dunk City.
Yeah, Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah. Florida Gulf Coast, where he went, and he was working out down there. And apparently that's when it all happened. I guess it happened on February 24th, and he couldn't give any kind of indication about any of this to the Red Sox because they weren't speaking. It was the lockout, and there was none of that. So when he ended up on the first day after everything got signed, you and Chaim Bloom like gave him a call. They said, hey, how you doing? He goes, well, not good. I think I cracked a rib. And sure enough, he did. And it's kind of weird. Here's what Chaim Bloom said about all of it yesterday.
He's doing a lot better now than when he first came in. You know, we don't know. We just know he's not going to be ready for the start of the season. You know, if we're talking weeks before he can start throwing again, we need to build him up. As you saw, he was already pretty well along before we, before this happened. So the buildup shouldn't be too long when we're able to get him back. But we don't know when that will be.
Yeah, and you know what? Chris Sale, too, you know, after all this, he makes this comment yesterday when they asked about how he was feeling.
The one thing that I noticed the most that I was missing through all this was arm strength because I just wasn't out there. That sucked because I put in a lot of work to prepare myself for this moment. And, you know, I mean, I built a badass race car and it broke down before the race started. So that's back in the garage trying to fix it up.
That's how I like to describe myself, as a badass race car.
Most badass race cars can race more than 1/10 of the time that they're paid to.
Hey, listen, sometimes the track, she's a salty mistress. My tires were sticking. You know, I didn't have the right kind of grain on them.
What a bad, bad contract. And in fairness, Fred, we said it at the time, 5 years, $145 million contract extension, which just has been almost nothing. I mean, think about it. So the year he signed it, I looked up his record. He was 6-11 the year he signed the extension. Then he had, of course, that Tommy John surgery, missed the entire 2020 thing. He returned at the end of last year, which he actually did okay. But if you look at who he did okay against, it was against bad teams.
He pitched against Baltimore like 9 times. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's like for some reason things lined up to where it was a bunch of Baltimore games, and then when finally the playoffs came around, he got absolutely crushed. Yeah, so I mean,
I personally think this is the worst contract extension the Red Sox have ever done.
And extension, that could be fair, because I've thought of worse contracts.
Yeah, because like I know they had Pablo Sandoval.
Pablo, and then you had the Gonzalez and Carl Crawford. Yep. You know, I mean, there's a lot of bad ones. But extension, you could be right.
Yeah, I had to look some up. Like, I wanted to use the example of extensions. A-Rod in 2007 signed a 10-year, $275 million contract and missed a full season, right, for steroid use or whatever. Yeah, yeah. They still won a ring. Like, do you know what I'm saying? And yeah. I know Chris Sale won a ring as well. Or did he win two? Has Chris Sale won a two? I don't know why. I can't remember how many they've won here.
He won one here. He won one with Alex Cora.
One. Okay, yeah, so one.
And remember, because that was when Dombrowski went on he made a rain after that.
Yeah.
He started giving out all that money, and that was, I believe, a response to, his extension was a response to them winning the World Series. Yeah. I believe, if I have my timeline correct, it was the offseason after they won, and maybe Mike or Dan can check that. Yeah. But I do believe that that's what happened.
Now, Josh Beckett signed a contract at one point after they won the World Series, and he at least came back and battled and won another championship and did well and got traded away and whatever, needed the Tommy John surgery. So it's kind of the same thing as him, but the contract extension was never needed. If they waited it out, in hindsight, he would have got hurt. They would have kept him around at $10 million a year probably to ramp back up, right? It's the worst contract extension. Now, I know he could come back from this, but right now at this point, I think he's going to be hurt like this the whole entire season. This is a guy that you're always going to worry about, and when it comes to the playoffs, look at his record. You can flat out say it. He is not a good postseason pitcher.
As I said, this is not just like a guy who's just getting it's. This is not Gordon Hayward, who, you know, every injury you can go, okay, well, I mean, that's a legitimate injury. We know how that happened. This is a dude pitching, doing what he's supposed to be doing, and broke a rib while doing it. Like, that doesn't seem. That seems like something's off.
No,
like, something's completely unnatural.
Well, first of all, I mean, he might have done something to his rib and then been out there pitching and then realized he had hurt himself. I mean, there is a possibility of that, but whatever. But second of all, I mean, part of the reason he's so effective is he's left-handed. He throws sidearm. It looks like the ball's coming right at you. He's got that crazy-ass slider that looks like a fastball that's coming right at you that jumps at the end. I mean, it would be impossible to hit. But for that success comes the price of just he's broken down so badly mechanically. Like, he just has terrible mechanics. And that's going to lead to people getting injured. I mean, pitching is not a natural motion anyway. Can anyone tell I've read the book The Arm?
No, yes.
Pitching is not a natural motion anyway. I shouldn't say that. But throwing as hard as you can often is not a natural thing. Your body's not made to do that. And you want to couple that with screwing around and throwing sidearm, that's going to make things even worse.
Yeah.
So, what was their reasoning for doing this? Like, the whole reason why they let John Lester go was because they didn't want to give players in their 30s big time money.
Well, part of me thinks that this might be almost a response to that, because he got such backlash because Lester leaves and obviously wins a World Series with the Cubs. I think the story about how that meeting went public.
It looked so bad for them, because Lester gave them every opportunity, even after they screwed him by trading him. He gave him every opportunity to win him back, and the story of Lucchino and Henry coming over to their house. And you juxtapose that with the way that Epstein did it, him and Hoyer did it in Chicago, where they went all out in videos pretending that they just won the World Series and all this. I mean, the two of them, I mean, they look terrible in comparison. Lester comes out and has all that success after he's 30. So, you know, it was certainly a reversal of attitude.
I'll tell you this much. In the long run, though, I think Lester was a better pitcher than Sale. And I know that Sale's dominant. Like, I know that the dominance of Sale will probably overshadow a lot
when
of Lester.
When Sale's on, left-handers can't hit him.
Yep.
But when in terms of being there and being on the mound and pitching in big games, Lester all the way.
And he did it in the playoffs.
Yeah, he really did it in the playoffs. So, I mean, you got to go with Lester all the way.
But, I couldn't even tell you their starting staff right now.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about that. So you got Nate Eovaldi. He'll be obviously Evaldi's your ace right now.
And he was good last year. Yes. Very good.
He was. Pivetti will probably be number two. And then where? Then what do you do? Who's after that?
Well, you got Michael Wacha.
Michael Wacha.
Yeah, the Wacha. That's right.
You got Wacha Flacha.
I actually don't know the rest. Wallach could tell you probably in 5 seconds.
All right. I know who could tell us. It's a band who goes by the name of Rock and Roll Mike. Rock and Roll Mike, hello. Rock and Roll Mike, hello. Rock and Roll Mike.
What?
All right, he's not there.
Who'd have thought that Rock and Roll Mike couldn't stay on hold and be sit still for at least 5 minutes?
Listen, someone.
Something shiny was in the distance.
He saw something on top of the toilet. He had to go investigate.
Tanner Houck, Connor Siebold are just some other names.
There you go.
This is weird because, I mean, last year we had this discussion that the team looked like it was going to be awful, and look what they ended up doing. It's just that it's really weird seeing all of this. We were in on this guy, we were in on that guy. When your team was as good as they were and they've really done nothing but let guys go, I don't know how you can get too excited about this Red Sox team. And I know that, like, this is, it's early and it probably will, but I mean, opening day isn't even sold out yet.
No, it's not.
It's a very strange spot that they're in. And I'm going to kind of hold my tongue a little bit because, you know, they fooled us all last year.
What a great team that was at the end of the year. That happens.
But this is weird. I mean, I don't know how this offseason can get you. You know, it's funny. Between the Red Sox and the Patriots, it's like talent's leaving. But what are you doing to fill that void?
I don't know.
I'm still waiting for both of them to do that.
They should take the Colorado model and let Arenado and Story go and then overpay for Chris Bryant by about $70 million.
At least the Red Sox tell us. At least the Red Sox are like, we want to be below the tax threshold, and we got to do this, and that.
I want guys who can do a lot of stuff. But exactly. I will tell you this, is that Chris Bryant deal, I had to look at it four times to make sure that it was real. You want to talk about giving a guy a lot of years,
he's going to hit 40-plus every year, though, at Colorado.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. He was not very good after April of last year.
And is it even fair that Freddie Freeman goes to the Dodgers?
I knew the Dodgers were going to. You can't outbid the Dodgers.
Their lineup is ridiculous. Why even play the games?
You can't even. I can't stand the Dodgers. I can't stand them. It's just you can't outbid them. They'll just get everybody. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.